Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
There's a lot going on in this Monday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, but make a stop over there just to see what might pop up. You never know. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you'll see that link will take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, we greatly appreciate it. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three.
All right, did you want to finish your story?
Oh, yeah. So, Big Jack and I were talking about some old wrestling stories and how much a big crybaby some of these guys could be. So, yeah, that one show we worked together, there's a guy from a competitor handing out flyers in the stands, in the building. I think he paid to get in, or you never know who, but how he got in.
But he did buy a ticket.
Oh, that's awesome. So I knew his girlfriend. I knew his girlfriend because I grew up with her, and I heard my name, and I'm like, who does, you know, no one called me by my real name. So we were talking, so I get these flyers from him and free things to get into their next show. I was like, oh, whatever. So, you know, my partner and I, my cousin and I went there, checked it out. We were trying to get booked, but he was just, I don't even know why he even brought us there, had us come out or whatever. So they were pretty crappy about it. So then a few months later, I don't know, it was sometime within the next year or so when they started running closer to where we were. And I found the building they were at by accident. So I went in on the day of their show and flyered the building. And, you know, different guys were friends with different guys. So, you know, everyone was getting these phone calls. And, you know, everyone at the – they were like, oh, it must have been one of the new guys. I don't know why they would have done that, you know. Coming up with, you know, just making excuses till they talked to me and figured out what I did. They all knew it was me. I think I told everybody. They probably knew. I didn't tell them I was doing it. I just did it and told them afterwards. And, you know, I got the old, oh, you know, we're trying to be friendly. So, you know, please, you know, don't be doing stuff like, or you shouldn't be doing stuff like that. Why'd you do that? And I was like, no offense, but, you know, they didn't seem to have a problem with entering the biggest show that we host every year, paying to get in and handing out flyers in the stands and outside the building. And I got the, what, excuse me? And I repeated myself, and they're like, all right, never mind. Don't forget this conversation never happened. I didn't fold you or whatever it was. We had no talk, and screw those guys. So it was pretty funny. I mean, I just always got a kick out of in indie wrestling. And you've got to imagine it climbs all the way up to, you know, the WWE ranks. How much babyism there is in there. But I've got to disappear for a few minutes, so whatever you do, don't talk about the White Sox.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, well, you know, like Dan was talking about there, you know, it's kind of an unwritten rule in the independent wrestling to not do that at somebody else's show. But since Dan is going away here, I believe this is Lou on the line. Let me double check there. There we go. Hey, I thought I recognized the number when I saw it pop up. How you doing there?
All right. Yeah, I've tried to get on in the past, but I haven't been able to get on, even though I dialed the number. But I'm here now.
Yeah, you know, obviously, as you know, since you run your podcast, you know, we don't have an intern or anything, so I do all my own web surfing And, you know, if we get caught up talking in a topic, we don't always have time to get back and check the switchboard to see if somebody's working for us. So, I apologize. It's just kind of, you know, lack of help. But I'm assuming you're calling to tell me about the Lakers title win last night, because I didn't see much of the game.
That and Prescott out for the season with that gruesome injury. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I mean, it looked a lot worse when we first saw it. I mean, he wasn't even moving anything. He looked like he was in excruciating pain, and everybody was all, like, a very, very distraught whenever I thought, oh, my God, this can't be happening. Luckily, it's, you know, just with his ankle. I mean, it looked a lot worse, though. But the thing is, what can the Cowboys do now without Dak for the rest of the year?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, luckily, they do have – the veteran backup and Andy Dalton. So, I mean, at least they're going to a guy with experience. You know, not that Dak isn't, you know, a much better quarterback than that, but it's better than having to run some, you know, some rookie out there who, you know, you could be in real trouble with. And, you know, let's face it, that division is terrible. So they may still win it even with Andy Dalton as their quarterback. I mean, they probably won't do anything in the playoffs, but –
Yeah. Speaking of stakes, I mean, going from the Jets side, going from Darnold, which is a train wreck, to Flacco, which is even much better. In fact, it did even worse yesterday. I mean, Flacco.
That's another team that and obviously there's already been two firings in the NFL. You just got to kind of wonder if Adam Gase is next.
How does he
keep his job?
What are you waiting for?
You know who? I don't know what they're waiting for, or you know maybe they just there are teams that of course are concerned with if we fire him, we still got to pay him. You never know what kind of goes in these teams' mind, but. Yeah, it's quite surprising that he definitely still has a job. I thought they'd make the change in the off season, but no, he's still there. And what there are the,
no
well no they beat somebody, weren't they 1-4?
1-6 to start with, and then they changed and they turned around, finished 7-9 last season. So I think that saved them.
You know, just one of those, one of those weird situations where you wonder, but I guess it kind of explains how the Jets have been the last few years, right?
Oh, yeah, like hell. I'll say one thing, though. If he survives the regular season, he won't survive Black Monday.
Yeah, you got to think, unless, of course, they get rolling and somehow get in the playoffs. I can't see how they keep him again.
No.
The Giants haven't made a change, but the Jets are another one of the winless teams who are sticking with their guy, I guess, at least for another week.
At least.
I don't know, but since you are here, Lou, I want to know because I keep hearing this all day. You got LeBron as the greatest player of all time, like I keep hearing these people talking about, or do you have, where do you have him? Because I do know people who have him outside of their top five, but they pay all that money to cover the NBA, so he's the greatest player ever.
Of this generation, yes. Of all time, no. So it has to go to Jordan. I mean, LeBron, yeah, 4 MVPs, and he's won now 4 titles. That's not even close to Jordan. He's won, he won 6 in 9 years. LeBron's only won 4 in 10 finals. Doesn't even come close. I won't deny he's a good player.
He's definitely one of the greatest players of all time. But, I always kind of lose it when they get the narrative about, he's the greatest player of all time. And like you brought up, it's taken him 10 trips to the finals to win 4. So,
Well, you see,
you know, but now
it's more of a generational thing. You know, I mean, this generation, like where my nephew is and stuff, they'll think that, you know, LeBron's the greatest of all time, where my generation, probably yours, with, well, unless you're older, you know, would be Jordan. Some might say, well, Larry Bird. Ah, never could stand him anyway. Some might think Kareem, which is an excellent choice. Or if we're going to go back further, you know, the big O himself, Oscar, or Bill Russell, who won more championships than anybody. So it really all depends on, you know, on who you ask and, you know, of what generation. I mean, I was born, you know, in the 70s, and I think Russell retired before I was born, but if I would have seen him play, I think he would have been definitely up there as one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, you know, I mean, it is always difficult to plug guys into, you know, other eras.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, wonder how do, but, you know, like I know a lot of people who, you know, you know, they still love Wilt Chamberlain. They think he's, you know,
oh, sure,
you know, right there at number two behind Jordan. And, you know, you mentioned Jabbar, and, you know, there are, you know, guys, I know there's a lot of people on the Magic Johnson bandwagon. I'm not quite there. Another guy who, you know, he was a great player, no doubt, but I don't know if he's top five. Maybe, you know, maybe he fits in depending who you are. But, yeah, I always have a hard time when, people, oh, yeah, well, LeBron's the greatest. And it's like, well, have you really looked into it, you know, to see how it goes?
No.
And that's kind of bothered me with fans.
Yeah. I mean, if you ask anybody under 18, they'll say LeBron.
Yeah. So, you know, and I believe Dan, who is actually coming back here, Dan has a nephew who fits into that age bracket. Dan, is your nephew convinced LeBron's the greatest player of all time? Or did you sell him on Jordan?
Pretty much agreed to that.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, yeah, Dan,
is your nephew?
Yeah, how old's your nephew? Has he got LeBron as the greatest player?
Oh, 24, 25.
Oh, okay.
But he literally grew up watching him. So, you know, he lived not too far from where LeBron lives. So he was following his career from as early as he could remember.
My nephew's only 17.
Well, my other one's 18. And he thinks LeBron's really good, but he doesn't have him right there with that.
So what else is going on, Lou?
Yeah. Well, we got the baseball playoffs going on, the league championships right now. And I must say, I'm disappointed the Yankees couldn't get past, well, Tampa, which I kind of knew, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought I had to – well, it was my fault, Lou, because I picked the Yankees, and whenever I pick a team, they're just jinxed. So I apologize for doing that to you. But, you know, I thought for sure they would move on. But, yeah, I'll take the blame on that one for you.
I thought maybe they can do it for Whitey Ford, who passed away on Thursday, but that didn't happen.
Being a Yankees – well, I was just going to ask real quick. Being a Yankees fan, your team got knocked out. Are you at least happy with the what's going on right now with the Rays kind of beating up on the Astros?
Yeah, I guess I can pull it. But I'm kind of torn about that because I don't know if you would root for the team that bounced you out of the next round. So it's a little torn on that. But I think I'd rather have Tampa than a bunch of cheaters move on.
Yeah.
All right, Lou.
Well, as always, thanks for stopping by. And like you always do before you get out of here, throw your podcast out there so our listeners can check you out.
Sure. It's called The Astros Are a Bunch of Dirty Cheaters.com. No. I had to do it. The Enhanced Sports Show. We're on Saturdays, 5 to 7 p.m. That's on the East Coast because I'm based in New Jersey. The number to call is 512-543-4662. I'll repeat that one more time, 512-543-4662. And we handle
all right,
almost
cool, buddy.
Everything in little sports.
Cool. Thanks
right.
for stopping by, Lou. We'll talk to you. All right, there goes Lou, who stops by quite a bit and talks to Dan and I. Well, me today because Dan was tied up, but, you know, that happens. And, yeah, I was waiting for Dan to get back because I actually wanted to hit you with this right away, Dan, but you said hang on. Explain to me what Rick Renteria did to lose his job, Dan.
Nothing. That's what I don't understand. Okay, I'm not even a White Sox fan, and I can't believe this. I mean, you know, Rick Hahn put out all – I read the one article that, you know, gave us all of Rick Hahn's statements, and, you know, he just basically did a really good business-type deal, and I don't know. I mean, if you're Rick Renteria, I think you knew it wasn't a long-term deal, but after this season – don't you feel like if you were him, you just basically got kicked in the junk?
Kicked in the junk?
Yeah.
You know, it's not the first time this has happened to Renteria, and I think that's what kind of made it a little more like, what the hell is going on with this guy for this time? Because, you know, obviously, and, you know, two teams in the same city. You know, he manages the Cubs. They get to the point where they're ready to win, and they ship him out. The White Sox get to the playoffs for the first time in, you know, God only knows how long now, and they look like they're on the verge of being a World Series contender. You know, not only do they send off Renteria, but they ship off the guy who developed all their pitchers. So... you know, and then I don't know if you heard this one. Did you hear the top three names that are apparently on their list? Have you heard that report yet?
No, I didn't see that yet.
Yeah, apparently their top three guys, and I don't know what order this is, but it's A.J. Hinch, Alex Cora, and Tony La Russa. So how about that for a starting list? And do you think they'll land any of those guys?
No. I mean, I kind of was thinking that with Cora and because somebody else brought up, you know, their own theory that Cora and that other guy, the other cheater.
Yes.
But
yeah, well,
I don't know.
Well,
I mean, after what you're doing.
I guarantee you that Cora will be the Red Sox.
Yeah.
You know, Hinch, I don't know because Dusty's got a contract for next year. So, I don't know if he would be willing to wait this year, but I know the Tigers are interested in him, and I'm sure anybody else who's got a managerial opening is calling his agent. So I don't know if I see that happening. But, yeah, I was surprised when I heard the news. I believe overnight I heard it while I was actually at work, and I'm like, man, what, you know, I just don't understand what this guy does wrong. So,
well, I mean, for him, it is good because he hasn't really had a team, you know, that were expected to win. So the losses that he's accumulated, you know, it's they're not as negative as you would think because he was brought in to rebuild. So, you know, in his situation, you wouldn't worry about his record, more so what he could do with the players.
Yeah, well, you know, don't you – gotta, if you're him and the phone rings, don't you almost become concerned when a rebuilding team calls you and wants to interview you to be their manager?
Well, at least you get a job, right?
Yeah, you know, but I mean, if you don't ultimately get the guy that, you know, be the guy that takes them to the promised land, isn't it kind of unfulfilling? I mean, I'm sure, like, it was nice for him to see the Cub players he developed win a World Series, but you never hear him get any credit for that, do you? It's just Joe Madden. Joe Madden won that World Series for the Cubs, right? And Theo Epstein. Did you fall down?
Sorry. Oh. Sorry, Bluetooth fell out.
Oh, okay. I don't know if you fell down.
Yeah, no, I mean, you're completely right. It's Theo and Joe that get all the credit, and Rick Renteria is just kind of the guy who was in between them and Quade. Or was it Ryan? I don't know, Ryan Saber didn't do it again.
Yeah, I think it was still my Quade. Yeah, so.
So,
that's the thing. With Renteria, is he's supposed to be a guy who can really develop young players. And I he only had a year remaining on his contract with the Sox. I don't quite know if they're ready to win. I don't know why you wouldn't bring him back one more year and let him help develop those guys a little more.
Yeah, and I don't either. You know, and for Rick Hahn to say, I think he could definitely run with any, a team and lead them to a championship. Well, obviously you don't, because you quote unquote agreed to part ways. Even though of course the headlines are White Sox fire Renteria, it's a huge surprise. And I could kind of see what you're saying when, it would be nice. Like you said, it's nice for Rick to watch the kids he kind of helped raise get to the World Series. But when you're not the one that's there with them, it's again I don't know. The first time, what are you going to do? You've definitely got a guy with Theo you kind of expect that from. But I didn't expect this so quickly from the White Sox. And, basically what I read from Rick Hahn's statements is Rick Renteria was good enough for this, but we don't think he's good enough to get them through to the playoffs. And, like you said, even to add to the surprise was the agreeing to part ways with Don Cooper.
Yeah.
I mean, that one's kind of a big shocker to me because he's been there forever, it seems. And, he had guys and I don't know. I guess there's two sides of the coin, though, right? Because you look at a guy like Lucas Giolito and then Ronaldo Lopez. One guy was hot, then he kind of falls to the wayside a little bit, and then, vice versa for the other kid. So, just wonder what happened there and what's not working out. And then if you're a White Sox fan, are you really that excited? Did you hate Ricky and Don that much that you can't wait to see them out of town? But not only that, how do you feel? Because let's be honest, with the Cubs situation, and I'm not comparing, Cubs versus Sox. I'm just comparing more or less kind of what's been repeated. Several times the Cubs have changed hitting and pitching coaches, and it didn't really change things for the better. So, hopefully that new guy that's coming in can change things for the better. And, I don't know if – and I know with today's expectations, your 1 through 5 are all supposed to be number ones, right?
Right.
Which, again, is an impossibility. So I don't know what pitching coach they're going to bring in that's going to be able to do all that. And –
yeah, and Cooper's actually been with the White Sox since 2002. So, yeah, he's been there a very long time.
So, you have that, and then McCann, you're wondering if he's coming back with catcher. I forgot how long Grandal's contract is. It's still like 4 years. So they got some time with him.
Yeah, I think it's 4.
So. Are you putting it all on the fact that Grandal and the next, pitching coach and crew can kind of get that all ship shape for you? I don't know. It just kind of, to me, I think it deflates things a little bit.
Yeah. Well, the biggest issue you have with the catching right now is Giolito pitches to McCann better than he does to Grandal. So now you're in a spot of, you know, can you bring McCann back again? You know, because they got him on the one-year deal, but now he's put up two good years in a row, and there's not a lot of catching out there. You know, there's no reason this guy shouldn't be a full-time catcher for somebody, you know, or at least the main guy to platoon. So you've got to wonder if there's going to be a team out there looking and going, what you guys doing? He should be that guy. So I really don't see him being back at the White Sox again. And, you know, that could be a detriment to Giolito, depending on who catches him and who comes in as the manager. And pitching coach. So, yeah, I was just shocked. And, you know, the funny thing is I know.
Sorry about that. Oh.
who are you killing? Uh-oh. Did you just murder somebody on air, Dan? That didn't sound good. So, I'm sure Dan muted himself because I'm gonna guess he's picking up his daughter. I'm not quite sure, but that's the route I'm going there. But yeah, I, you know, just really for me, it was kind of a surprise move, and I know Dan is actually, I think, just kind of half-heartedly joking mentioned that he, you know, he goes, yeah, well, just wait till, you know, they get to a certain point and they fire Renteria, and here you go. They fired Renteria, but I did see that they made it very clear that Ozzie Guillen is not a candidate to become the manager. You know, in case you haven't heard or you're not following baseball fully, Ozzie has mentioned that he would like to manage again. So, you know, his name has popped up not really fully for any jobs, but it's now, you know, kind of starting to surface. And, you know, obviously he had success with the White Sox. You know, he won a World Series there. You know, he went to Miami and his mouth got him in trouble. And, you know, that's the fear you have to worry about Ozzie is if you ask Ozzie what's on his mind, Ozzie's going to tell you. Not always good. So that can lead to issues with – basically it was the community, I believe, he got himself in trouble there with in Miami because he had – there were some comments about Castro and, you know, obviously that, you know, that's a large – there's a large Cuban population there. So, it was just clear, you know, they basically stated it very clearly that Ozzie is not a candidate. We'll see if that holds up, but because I don't see them landing any of these top names, you know, like if I was a betting man, I would bet money that Cora is the Red Sox manager. I doubt Colin Marusa wants to come out of the MLB offices to go through the managing again. I just don't know if – I guess maybe it would be interested in White Sox because they are similar to how the Astros were when he took over there. But I just don't – for whatever reason it is, I just don't see him taking that job. I think he's looking for something else. You know, or like I said, maybe he'll possibly just wait the extra year and then take back the Astros job. You know, that wouldn't surprise me at all. If that...
No, and I mean, Bart, do you think part of the thing, those names were put out there to help grab the attention for the White Sox? Because, I mean, like you said, the percentage that these guys will be landed to this team is kind of low, especially with La Russa. I mean, you never know. I don't know if the old man wants to get out of the office or not and, you know, don a uniform instead of a suit from here on for another run with the White Sox now that what's his name's gone? The Hawk. I don't know. Could there have been a 30-year grudge? Yeah, you never know. But, you know, what if the fact that just putting La Russa Hinch, Cora, all those names in that hat, just kind of helps give some attention back to the White Sox. Because, I mean, let's not forget, this is a team who the national media keeps forgetting that they won a World Series in 2005. You know, it never happened to a lot of people out there. So do you think this kind of helps give the attention, keep kind of things rolling for the White Sox and keeping them in a positive light? And maybe that could help somehow, as opposed to, I mean, you think about it, when the White Sox signed Ricky Renteria, that's not really, that wouldn't have been national headlines. You know, it wouldn't have been quote unquote ESPN worthy, where throwing La Russa's name and those guys out there, you're going to get a little bit more coverage, maybe draw some more interest in the White Sox.
The one thing it did was, for sure, it got the MLB Network to talk about them.
Yeah.
You know, because when you say, you know, you're going after these candidates, well, you know, these are the names that the MLB Network talks about when every single job comes open. Plus, I also think that they need to make it very clear that they weren't going to hire Ozzie. You know, because he does the in-studio work for them, so he's still close to the team. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
I think they had to be very clear that that's where they weren't going to do that. So this way they'll be able to get, you know, interest from other people out there. And, like, I don't know who's free and who's not, you know, so it's possible. But, you know, if you look at a guy like Sandy Alomar, who just basically managed the Indians this year because Francona was sick, I would think he would be a top candidate after the job he did. Now, I don't know where the White Sox would keep or have him, but you got to think if you've got a managerial opening, you want to talk to this guy. You know, and I believe he spent some time here with the White Sox as well, so he's got a little history. But, you know, so they're, you know, but yeah, I think you're right on. It's just kind of get the big names out there, even though they probably won't come here or even take interviews. I'd be surprised if La Russa even interviewed, you know, and then this way everybody kind of focuses on your job. And, you know, who knows, maybe you'll get lucky and AJ Hinch decides he wants to take it. So, it does work out, and it kind of shines a light on, you know, your team.
Now, you know, the one thing that the article I read that stood out, and I didn't really realize this, was that Jerry Manuel, probably the last manager and one of the few in the, you know, and just go from the La Russa days, just 1980, that wasn't an organizational guy. So he wasn't, you know, a White Sox at one point or another. The fact that Rick Hahn threw out there that he wants to go outside the organization, I mean, for me, an outsider of the team, technically speaking, this is one of the things that I always respected about the White Sox, is they like to keep things internal. But, you know, I don't really know where I stand on this one. I mean, do you think it's a good thing that, or do you think it's more about the fact that he's just wanting to keep all his options open? But to me, it seemed like the statement was basically implying that they're not going to be looking at anyone really with a, you know, White Sox background. They're just looking for a baseball guy.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, in reality, that's the smart thing to do. You know, you want to keep, you know, all your options open, and you don't want it to be, well, you know, I'm, you know, we're just going to move so-and-so up from so-and-so, and, you know, kind of go that route. So it, you know, it makes sense. And I'm trying to think, and I want to see if I can find it here. I don't know who's managing who their minor league managers are. So I don't know if there would be an option there, if they could even go that route.
Yeah, well, I guess where I'm coming from is kind of the fan point of view. And do you think this is
yeah.
a good statement to put out there to the fans? Like, it's, you know, you'll get a more positive reaction, a little bit more excited. I don't know. I guess that's where I'm trying to get the point of view from. I don't know. For me, it's yeah. like I said, it's kind of one of those, I'm torn between the two because I like the fact that the White Sox kept things in the organization. But at the same time, I think it's hurt them sometimes. But I just was kind of curious what you thought about the fans and how they would see it.
Well, you know, I think if you're a fan and looking here, just so you know, their triple A manager is Wes Helms, and their double A manager is Justin Gershelly. So we're not talking about any big names in the minors waiting to come up. But I think as a fan, doesn't this make you feel like they're going to try to land the big fish? You know, even if they don't, they're still going to try to get that big name manager. You can put it akin to where the Cubs were when they landed Joe Maddon. He was the big prize. So and that's where kind of, you know, I believe that's where Rick Hahn wants everybody to look and think the White Sox are there. And, you know, they're ready to take that next step. You know, I still think they're a year or two away, but that's just my opinion. But I believe he wants everybody to think, you know, we're going to bring in this big-name manager, and we're going to win a World Series. And, you know, this is the way to go about it, right, by saying you're willing to go outside of the organization, or you'd almost prefer to?
Yeah. You know, and that's, you kind of touched on where I was going to go with the next, because in his statement, he, you know, it mentioned that it's been, you know, it's that the reason they're parting ways, him and Renteria, the White Sox and Renteria, has to do with the fact that, you know, he feels that this is the time to where they're going to make that championship run. And, you know, much like every other front office guy, you know, you have to say the obligatory, we intend to win multiple you know, championships over the next, you know, during that period, which,
yeah,
I mean, like I said, it's obligatory. It hasn't been done, you know, since the Yankees won some couple back-to-back in, you know, 98, 99, 2000. So, I mean, I get it, but I don't know. To me, it's just like, hey, Ricky, you're good enough for job A. And I guess for Renteria, how the hell did he get past that hump? You know,
yeah.
I mean, you know, if you kind of translate it into with us in wrestling, and I don't know if this will make sense to a lot of people, but, you know, for you and I, you know, obviously things got obscured when the old ways were so wrong. We had to invent new ways, but, you know, your match position on the card was kind of your status, right? So, you know, while
yeah.
I love opening the show, because, you know, we set the tone for the night, blah, blah, blah. The other part of it is we also wanted to get over that hump where we could be, you know, more towards the headliners, you know, so to speak. So I guess that's where I'm going with Ricky Renteria. What the hell does this guy have to do to be not known as the rebuild king, you know?
I need
I
to
come
ask
in,
you,
I rebuild
the team. Where was my spot on the card? I kind of forgot.
I don't remember. It was so long ago.
Well, you know what's weird is this is very, you know, akin and to kind of relate it to another sport. If you remember, the Bulls did this with Doug Collins. And basically it was Jerry Krause who said, you know, he thought Collins was the guy to take them from A to B, but Phil Jackson was the guy they needed to get them from B to C, C obviously being winning a title. And, you know, Collins never really got past that. You know, he went on to coach more teams, but he never, I don't believe he ever did coach an NBA champion. And you just kind of wonder, is Renteria the MLB version of Doug Collins, where he'll continue to get jobs, and improve teams, because obviously he knows how to, you know, manage young players, you know, and put them in position to start winning. But you just wonder if anybody will stick with him long enough to allow him to go from B to C, as Jerry Krause put it. And I just don't see it happen. I think it's a stigma now that he's stuck with, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
unless he wanders into his next job and they happen to win a title before everybody thinks they're ready, otherwise I don't know another way he gets over the hump.
No, and that's where I, you know, kind of Rick Hahn, you know, you have to choose your words wisely. I think he'll be a great, you know, he'll lead a team to a championship.
Yeah, hang on, you're echoing there. Did you lose your Bluetooth again?
Can you hear me now?
Try one more time.
How about
no,
that?
Now you're actually worse. It's technical difficulty Monday. I don't know. We're just having one of those days.
How about now?
There you go. That's much better. That's much better. Okay. I don't know what you did, but it worked.
And I don't remember what I was talking about. Oh, but, you know, Rick Hahn says he's good enough. He'll put a team to a championship, take them to a, you know, World Series, whatever. But, you know, in quotations, the words that are left out are just not with this team.
Right.
I don't know. I just feel bad for the guy. It just kind of surprises me, because you make a big change like this, and it better be pretty damn significant, I guess you could say. You're not only, you're wondering, they're not going to fill that pitching coach role, I don't think. Are you kind of with the impression they would get the manager, and then
they're actually going to wait to hire a manager. They're going to hire a manager first and then get a pitching coach.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, it'll be interesting. There was a little, and you know, sadly, this has been happening a lot in baseball, but you know, unfortunately, people get older and pass away. I don't know if you saw this one, but Joe Morgan passed away. He was just 77. I don't know if he was battling an illness or if this was kind of sudden. I really liked Joe Morgan as a player. Joe Morgan as the person, not so much. He really ended up, sadly, being kind of petty. And I really hope that he was able to get past a lot of those issues. If you remember, and one of my biggest contentions with him was when Ryan Sandberg went into the Hall of Fame, and Sandberg broke a lot of Morgan's records. Morgan at the time was the vice president of the Hall of Fame and magically couldn't make the induction ceremony. I believe it was the only one he ever missed was the year Sandberg was inducted. And for whatever reason, he held a big grudge against Sandberg for breaking a lot of his records. And I just really hope that, you know, when he passed away, he was able to clear all that up, or he just kind of got over the hump, because, you know, this is a guy who was a great player, and he should be remembered for being a great player, not these petty little grievances. And, you know, you remember when he was an ESPN announcer, how everything always kind of came back to Joe Morgan.
Yeah, and that's – I forget who it was. They said today they loved, you know, his stories about the Big Red Machine. And, you know, I'm sitting there going, are you just doing that because, you know, your obligatory comment? Because Joe Morgan never told a story on TV about the Big Red Machine. It was usually the Big Red Joe story.
Yeah. Joe Morgan, who happened to be part of that Big Red Machine, but those stories were all about Joe Morgan. A great player, and, you know, as a kid in the 70s, I loved watching him play. You know, he had that goofy little chicken wing arm flap when he batted that, you know, a lot of kids I know tried to emulate. Not very well, but they at least tried it for a little while. You know, and just an all-time great player, and I believe he picked up an MVP award in his time with the Reds, and, you know, they were the best team in baseball for, or at least the National League, for just the longest period of time. Like I said, I just kind of hope that he got past this, and I actually lied. He's a two-time MVP. So he won it back-to-back years, too, 75 and 76. He won back-to-back MVP, so that's pretty impressive there. But, yeah, you know, I just hope he got past the whatever it was he was holding on to, and, you know, unfortunately passed away kind of early at just 77, but, that, you know, definitely one of the all-time greats. So, you know, no doubt. Now, you're probably too young to remember even seeing him play, aren't you?
Yeah, I didn't really see him play.
Like the rain delay highlights when you were watching the Cubs game and they used to show those?
Yeah, I mean, aside from that. You know, when they didn't have extra programming for when there was the rain delay.
Yeah, before it was, before it was like, oh, whoops, we're gonna go to, you know, whoever, wherever we're going to, there, this is what it is. So,
yeah.
But he was originally a Houston Colt 45. So.
Wow.
You know, he was there before they changed it over to the Astros. And, he ended up in Cincinnati in 1972. Just kind of at the start of the Big Red Machine, he got there. So, unfortunately, one of those things that happened to us all. I don't know anybody who's figured out how to not die yet, but, Joe Morgan passed away at 77, and, you know, again, all-time great player. Hopefully, like I said, he kind of got over some of the grudges he was carrying, because, you know, I'm hoping Dan does the same thing when it's only his time. I mean, oh, no.
No. Well, I've forgotten any grudges I have. Well, maybe not all of them.
I can't remember mine, so I'm over mine just because I completely forgot. So, but there, you know, Dan, there was one thing that, you know, I knew this was going to happen after watching football yesterday, and I knew it was going to bother me. And for the life of me, I don't understand, you know, I don't really understand how these people keep their jobs on television when they're sports, you know, commenting on a sport that, you know, they played, and it's like, you know, okay, how do you not know whatever's, you know, going on? And so I can add some reference to it. If you didn't see this, Dak Prescott got hurt yesterday afternoon in the Cowboys game. Unfortunately, and Dan knows sadly way too much about this, if I read the report right, he not only dislocated his ankle, he fractured it, and he had an ankle surgery today. Now, luckily, the recovery time is about 4 to 6 months, and it looks like he'll be back and be able to resume his career. There was some thought that it could have been career threatening, but luckily it doesn't look like it is, and he'll be back. Obviously next year his season is done this year with the Cowboys. But right away, Dan, the first thing I heard was, here's some jackass out there saying Dak never should have signed the franchise tag because something like this could happen. And what if he would have lost his career? Dan, now this makes me think the franchise tender that Dak signed guaranteed him, and he will be paid this, $31.4 million. Well, luckily, like I said, this was not a career-ending injury, but if it would have been, Dan, are you telling me that Dak Prescott would not have been okay with $31.4 million to live the rest of his life?
No,
because that's what this jackass was making it out to seem like.
Yeah, no, he needs a contract with, you know, six times that. Where and even
right.
That, you know, I laugh when they make these comments because, you know, aside from Mahomes, I don't know, not many guys get a guaranteed contract.
No, you know, in the NFL, you know, the contracts are rarely guaranteed, and if they are, it's only for the early part. You know,
yeah.
That's what keeps the NFL where it is the way they structure their contracts. You know, but, you know, and I get it. You know, when Dak signs his contract, yes, he's going to make a boatload of money. But it didn't work out this year. You know, they made him some really good quality offers, but he was looking for, you know, almost the kind of money Patrick Mahomes got. And nothing against Dak Prescott, but the Cowboys haven't won anything. So I don't know why he kind of thought he was deserving of that. You know, or, you know, where he thought, you know, this was going to take him. But obviously they didn't agree to his deal. Now, the odd thing about this, to make it even stranger, Dan, he'll be a free agent next year. The Cowboys are already talking about franchising him again. So that means he'll make another $30+ million next year. And this jackass on TV was worried about him being okay for the rest of his life. You know, Dan,
well,
you're married. You got one kid. You got another kid on the way. You would be okay with just $31.4 million, wouldn't you? I know your wife can spend it occasionally, but you would make it okay? Or, you know, could you
make
all that money?
No, I would make it through okay, especially since my wife works for an investment firm. We could, you know, try to hide as much as we can without paying taxes for as long as we can.
I think I might be okay with just the 1.4, the 0.4 part of it, you know, which is maybe,
yeah. You know, my wife and I would be happy just to pay off our house and our student loans.
Yeah. But, yeah, so it just baffles me. And, you know, I wonder, you know, these guys get on TV and, you know, they start talking. And I'm like, do you think, you know, I mean, because, like, I know you and I do here occasionally. We open our mouths without thinking. But we're not getting paid to do it. These people are. And I'm like, are you really that stupid that you think, you know, he wouldn't be okay if this happened?
Well, and, you know, when it comes to his injury, I think you had said he had like a 4 to 6 month recovery.
Yeah.
Well, you know, mine was 10 months, but I also had to do everything on my own, and I'm not part of the Cowboys, who Jerry Jones has shitload of money and I'm sure would be on top of getting Dak all the help he needs and, you know, however their contracts are worked out. So he'll be ready in 6 months. You know, and just his own psyche, I think he'll definitely be ready to play next season. It's an injury that sucks. I mean, it was kind of scary to look at when they were taken off the field. But I mean, like you said, if he's getting $34 million this year, and then if they still plan to franchise him, that's, you know, double. And not only that, if the Cowboys do that for him, you know, regardless of, well, you know, number one, when I dislocated my ankle, doctor told me to never, you know, wrestle again or, you know, do anything again, basically. Didn't stop me. You know, I healed, got better. You know, things got better. It just, when it rains, I know when it's coming now. But, you know, they're giving him that opportunity if they franchise him again next year to actually play the game and to see where he's at. And then, you know, whether it's with Dallas or somebody else, they're paying him and giving him the opportunity to showcase his skills back again, that, you know, they can still perform at that level and possibly get another contract. So, I mean, if, you know, like you said, with that, if that's true with Dallas, I mean, they're doing everything in his favor. So there shouldn't really be an issue.
Yeah, and then, you know, the humorous side of this, like I mentioned, I was listening to Overnight Radio, and the host, who I've had issues with quite a few times here, kept calling Dak Prescott a running back. So I finally tweeted him and said, you know, he's a quarterback, right? And they actually responded and just kind of said, well, it doesn't matter because he won't be playing for anybody the rest of the season. And I was like, wow, I just wanted you to get it right because, you know, he's not a quarterback or he's not a running back. You keep saying he's a running back. So
all I got to say, Big Jack, is please do that every time.
Well, you know, the funny thing is this is the first time I've ever gotten a response from any of the guys like that I've ever tweeted. You know, I know you used to have some banter with David Kaplan, but this is the first time I've ever had somebody get back to me.
Who's your friend?
I was just like, wow, that's a shock. You know, one of the few things. And then, of course, you know, the good news to the NFL, I'm sure you saw this one. Alex Smith played yesterday. He got forced in due to an injury, and I think he got sacked 8 times, so luckily he did not get injured again, but that's definitely a feel-good story because I know he went through, I don't remember if I thought it was 7 or 17 surgeries to get his leg correct. You know, and at one point in time, they thought he was going to actually lose the leg. And now, believe it or not, he's back. He actually played in the NFL yesterday. So, yeah, that was that was a fantastic story. You know, they allowed fans in the stands, so his wife and kids were there, you know, to see him play. So that was a nice touch. And I'm glad he made it through because that team is bad. And he took quite a few hits, but the leg hooked up, so he's got to feel good today.
Yeah, and as we run out of time, Big Jack, tomorrow I think will be a football day. You know, we'll touch on the playoffs that are going on today. But tomorrow's got to be at least some football and going over our fantasy teams because I think now is my turning point, Big Jack, where I'm either going to go straight to the top or straight to the trash. It's only week 6. We're going into week 6. And I already know it's going to be determined for me soon.
Yeah, well, you know, and I think the Rays are still beating the Astros, so we can go watch the end of that game. All right, so this means we're going to have a lot of you, man.
Sports Time Radio.